There we go. Very, very good morning to each and every one of you. Thank you so much for having myself and my wife and my son this morning with you guys as we've stolen your pastor for our church. They thought they'd send me across. We see some familiar faces, so we know some of you guys. Thank you very much for always saying hello and always being friendly and always treating us like family. Thank you guys so much for that. It really is a pleasure to always come here and see you guys and meet you guys and greet you guys. And to those people who don't know, ask the Oaks who know. Maybe at some stage you'll also like us. But no, thank you so much for loving us and caring for us and always leaving your house open for us. I can't say thank you enough. So this year, CMA and Bikers Church, the theme is courage. You guys might have heard this by nod of heads. Who's heard that our theme is courage? It's like few people. Thank goodness. I was so stressed that Mozzie last week prayed up a storm on courage, and here I come and I'm trying to steal his thunder. Thank goodness that's not happening this morning. But so this word courage is a bit of a tough one, you know. And this morning I want to speak to us on where do we find courage. It's great to, you're going to see some people wearing t-shirts saying courage. You probably have seen people with t-shirts saying courage, mugs saying courage. It's catchy, isn't it? It's like, we need to have courage. It's important. But where do we find it? Where does it come from? Because it's not a natural thing. Well, not for me anyway. Maybe, I mean, folks in the world are different from me. But for the most part, courage isn't something that just comes up inside of me and I want to act on. So our theme scripture is 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 20. And it says, "Be strong and courageous and do the work. Do not be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord God, my God, is with you." So this is, let me set the scene. David is speaking to his son Solomon. We didn't even pray. Maybe we should start there. We thank you, Lord, that we can be here this morning. We thank you for the appointment that you have with us this morning, Father God. I thank you for speaking to us through your word, Father God. And I thank you that your word falls, the seed of your word falls on good ground this morning. Amen. Sorry about that. I'm so excited. I just jumped right in. I think, you know, you guys are a forgiving crowd, so we'll be okay. All right, so let me set the scene. David is speaking to his son Solomon. David has come right through his reign as king. He's at the end of his life. He's gotten everything ready for his son to take over. And kind of as an encouragement as to, here's how you will take care of the kingdom well, David says to his son Solomon, "Be strong and courageous and do the work. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you." Now, David takes this command from the command that God gave Joshua many, many years before them. As Joshua and the Israelites came to the Jordan River and they're about to go out of the wilderness and into the promised land, God comes to Joshua and he says, "Well, Moses is dead." And this is the command that God gives Moses. He says to him in Joshua 1:9, he says, "This is my command, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And God said that to him before when he spoke through Moses. So Moses got Joshua ready. The message in Deuteronomy 31 from verse 6 to 8, it's repeated three times. And it pretty much repeats this: "Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you, and he will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you." So the command here is be strong, be courageous. So if we look at the word courage, what does it mean? Maybe that's helpful. The word courage means to be brave, to be bold, to be firm, to be alert, and to be secure. Now, if you've ever done LTS with us, at some stage during LTS, I tell you that security isn't something that we conjure up inside of ourselves. We don't go, secure. That doesn't work that way. I wish it did. I really, really wish it did. But it doesn't. It's not something that like wells up inside and suddenly I'm secure. Suddenly I'm courageous. So it's not something that comes naturally. Bravery, boldness, security. It's not an everyday thing. And it's mainly because it's not an emotion. Courage is not a feeling. Now that might be like, what do you mean? It really isn't a feeling. Courage is an action. The commandment that we were given is be strong and courageous. It's not feel strong and courageous. It is an action that we take. So an action comes from somewhere else. So where does this action start? Well, the thing is, courage will never be something that we feel. It will always be a description of what we do. And if we think of courage, David's name comes up often. So it's so interesting that David told his son, be strong and be courageous. Because if we think of David and all his exploits and David's mighty men and David and Goliath and David fighting off the Philistines and David fighting this and attacking that, and David and courage is, man, those guys are synonymous. This is half the story, oor. But in David's life, all through David's life, he had to put aside his feelings and he acted courageously. And that made history with his life over and over and over again. When we meet David in 1 Samuel 16, his family is like most families. They forget about certain people at certain times, especially big families. When we meet David, the prophet Samuel came to his dad's house, and Jesse and Samuel is meeting, and Samuel tells Jesse, I'm going to anoint the king. The next king of Israel is in your family. It's one of your sons. And so Jesse gathers all his sons, lines them up. He says, it's the first one. And even Samuel thinks, it's the first one. And God says, it's not the first one. And so he gets the second one. And Jesse is like, it's the second one. Kind of knew it was the second one. Yeah. You always just put the first one first, don't you? And so the second son comes by and Samuel says, it's not this guy. And so all of Jesse's sons goes by and none of them are chosen. They're all essentially rejected. And Samuel goes to Jesse and he says, was this all of your sons? And Jesse's like, oh yeah, there's the youngest one. He's taking care of the sheep in the field. Kind of forgot about him. He's like, well, nobody's sitting down and eating before you get that boy and get him here. Because God has a king to anoint. And so they run out and they fetch him and they anoint David, this young shepherd boy, as the future king. So that's how it goes in families sometimes. They don't see all your qualities immediately. During this time, King Saul, who was the current king, well, he started feeling the consequences of doing things on his own. The Bible actually tells us in Samuel that the presence of God, the Spirit of God, had left Saul. And so, Saul is falling into depression. Saul is living in fear. Why? Because he's doing things on his own, and he's not feeling God around anymore. And this depression and fear takes him into a deep, dark place, and he has these outbursts of rage. And they suggest to him that maybe you should get somebody to come play him the harp, to calm him down when all of this happens, when he gets into this rage. Get somebody to play you the harp so you can calm down. So Saul says, it sounds like a good idea. He says to the servants, do you know anybody? One of the servants speaks up in 1 Samuel 16 and verse 18. It says, one of the servants said to Saul, one of Jesse's sons from Bethlehem is a talented harp player. Not only that, he's a brave warrior, a man of war, and he has good judgment. He's also a fine-looking young man, and he is, and the Lord is with him. And so, pretty much saying to Saul that everything that you've lost, the fact that you were a brave warrior, you were a man of war, you had good judgment, you were fine-looking because he's a little older now, and most importantly, the fact that the Lord was with you, you've lost all that stuff, and you need that back in your life. And I know a young man who can do that, who can be that. And so that's quite a description of young David, isn't it? It's important that we see over and over and over again how the presence of God is described. The Lord is with you. Be strong, be courageous. Why? God is with you. God will go with you. So, Saul likes the idea. They get David in, and he employs David. He loves David. He thinks this is a fantastic idea that young David is part of what he's doing. And so, the Philistines decide it's time to make war, and they move in with the Philistine army. The Israelites find out that the Philistines are coming, and they move up with the Israelite army. And so, on the one side of the mountain, you have the Philistine army. On the other side of the mountain, of another mountain, I guess, you have the Israelite army. And here in the middle, you have the Valley of Elah, which is pretty much a flat piece of ground where everybody made war every year. And the Philistines, they had a champion, a big man of war. You know, when you watch these fantastic war movies where there's blood and guts and you have to put a bowl in front of your TV to just catch the blood so that it doesn't spill onto the carpet, you can kind of think those kind of scenes that we're looking at right now. And every morning, this champion, this man of war, this 9-foot-tall monstrosity of a man whose spear is heavier than me, walks out onto the battlefield, and he's mocking God, and he's mocking the people of God. And he says, come, send me your best warrior. In this 1-0 fight, this man-to-man test of strength, it's a winner-takes-all. The winner takes all the glory. The winner takes all the honor. The winner takes all the spoils in this fight to the death. This man's name's Goliath. And every morning for 40 days, Goliath comes out, mocks God's people, challenges God's people. And nobody says a thing. In fact, the Bible says that the soldiers were so dismayed and discouraged that they stayed in their tents. When Goliath came out, Israel shrunk back. Enter young David. By this time, a young teenager walks out. He was during this wartime, he was taking care of his dad's sheep because there was nobody else. Everybody else was at war. And young David comes and he runs an errand for his father. His father says, hey, your brothers might be hungry. Maybe army food isn't that great. So you take them some nice food. So he's like, hey, great, I get to watch the battle. So David goes out, and as he walks out, and he's expecting to see the Israelites conquering the Philistines, what does he see? He hears Goliath come out, challenge his God, challenge his people. And he is angered. He is offended. And he is disgusted at this Philistine mocking God and his people. Now, we look at David and we see a young man who takes personal courage. We see a young man who faces overwhelming odds as he walks to King Saul and he says, hey, I'm going to kill this guy. We see this self-confident, independent, brave young man who says, you know what? That armor is not for me. I have a slingshot, and I need some rocks, and this guy's going to fall. And he walks out on the battlefield, and he stands up for what's right. He says, "In my own strength, in my own skill, I'm going to confront this norm that's not normal, and I'm going to stand up against the bully." And he officially beats the bully. And we celebrate that. A young man who stands up against the bully and beats the bully. And the moral generally around the story is for us to get out there, face our giants, because courageous heroes come out on top. It's kind of the story that we sold, isn't it? But that isn't the whole story of David and Goliath. That's not what David trusted in. It wasn't his self-confidence. It wasn't his independence. It wasn't his bravery and his skill and his strength that he trusted in. David's story is about a young man who put all his faith, put everything he had behind his powerful and almighty God. He knew God. He knew God well. And God gave him the courage. Knowing God gave him the courage to take courageous steps, to take courageous action. Because he knew God doesn't just make promises, but God keeps promises. And there's a big difference there, isn't it? David knew by this time that he was God's anointed. He knew that it was no coincidence that on day 40 of this giant mocking God, mocking God's people, he got to the battlefield. David knew that all the challenges he'd faced previously in his life were just training for the next challenge that he was going to face in his life. And that on that day, David was sold out to the fact that whatever happens, God gets the glory. All I need to do is be courageous and take action in my God's name. 1 Samuel 17 and verse 37, David says this, "The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine." This isn't a young man who's going, it's because I'm so strong, and you know what? I'm pretty accurate with a rock and a slingshot. No, it's a young man who says, I know God. And that's why I know that I can take courageous action and stand up. When he saw all the army of Israel, all the army of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, God's army, God's people, shrink back, be afraid, because they forgot who God is and what he is like. It broke him inside. And David knew that God was the difference in his life. That trusting God, putting all these marbles in one place, was going to be the way forward. Why? Because this battle, everything that I faced in the past, has come together to this battle so that I can look great? No, so that I can glorify God best. So that my life can glorify God best. So as we look to the rest of David's story, over and over and over again, we see David taking courage because of who he knows God is and not who David trusts himself to be. If you go and read the Psalms, you see David speaking things like, "Oh, what a wretched man I am. Lord, my faith is failing me. My this is failing me. Lord, I'm falling apart. Lord, where are you? Lord, I need you." But when push comes to shove, he's like, "Lord, your track record says that I can trust you. And that if I take courageous action here, you're going to get the glory. And that's all that's important." So where does this courage come from? And I think I've said it a few times, but this courage is taken from the last part of the command. In Joshua 1 and verse 9 and Deuteronomy 31 and verse 8, it's lost on my page. Here we go. Yes, here we go. It says, Joshua 1 and verse 9 ends like, the command ends like this. "For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Deuteronomy 31 and verse 8 says, For the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you or abandon you. What's it saying is we trust in God's presence. We trust in the God who has created heaven and earth, who has shown himself to be faithful over and over and over again. We don't go digging for courage in ourselves, because we know when we dig in ourselves, we don't always find nice things, do we? As we grow in God, we find better things. But for the most part, we don't always find what we like, do we? It's so interesting that Jesus, in Matthew 28, connects with this command again. Jesus gives us the great commandment in Matthew 28. From verse 18, he says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I have given you. And be sure of this: I am with you always, even to the end of the age. What's the key? God's with you. Make sure God is with you. Then you have reason to take courage. And then when you take courage, when you take courageous action, you will be successful. When we forget this, we become fearful, like we saw Saul get fearful. We get fearful like the Israelite army got fearful because they forgot who their God is. When we lack courage, it's because mainly we lack faith. We don't trust in God. We don't hold on to his promises. Let's be honest, our problem seems bigger than our God. And my God that I've made up in my mind suddenly has to bow down to my problem. I'm like, wait a second, that's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is bigger than any problem. That's why Jesus says, you'll say to this mountain, jump into the sea, and it'll go and jump into the sea. Why? Because problems bow to God and not the other way around. My God is bigger than my problems. A man called Erwin McManus said this. He says, courage is not the absence of fear, but the absence of self. Courage is not the absence of fear, but the absence of self. Simply saying that when we take courageous action, it's going to be scary. But I'm not doing it in my own strength. I know that I'm not taking this giant on by myself. I've got my God backing me. And that's where courage comes from. Courage forgets about me. And courage focuses on God. Now, giants are different things for different people. Giants in our lives is anything that challenges God in our lives, that challenges God in our thinking. It's fear. It's depression. It's those people that you're trying to impress. It's those people that have all kinds of opinions about you. They are giants. It's this race for performance, this race to be the best, this race, in Joburg we call it the rat race, is often a giant in our lives. How about our hate? That's a giant in our lives. How about our lust? That's a giant in our lives. How about that illness? That's a giant in your life. Racism is a giant in our lives. And sometimes our self-confidence is a giant in our lives because it's going to make us fall flat on our faces. And sometimes our lack of confidence is our giant. Anything that rises up and says, God's not going to do this for you. God is not strong enough. Who is this God of the Israelites? Does it sound like Goliath over and over and over again? Who is this God? Where is he? You guys are hiding in your tents. And so often these things says to us, who are you? And who is your God? Because you're hiding behind this and behind that. And you're not standing up for the truth. And you're not standing up for what I know God has called you for. And as long as you don't stand up, I'm going to mock you about it. And as soon as you stand up, I'm going to fall over and die. But the giant won't say that out loud. So, courage is when we act on God's powerful promises. So today, maybe we need a little bit of reminding of some of God's promises. Some of those promises we have in God, some of those promises that we have in Jesus and because of Jesus, to get us to understand how to take courage. The first one is He forgives us our sins and gives us His righteousness. So often, what's our thing? Why do we think we can't do this? Why do we think we don't deserve this? I'm a sinful man. I've messed up just last week. I'm not righteous. I'm not perfect. So how can God use me? Why would God want to use me? Isn't that an excuse we make all the time? I'm not good enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not fast enough. But God comes and He gives us what we need. In 1 John 1 and verse 9, all the way to the second chapter in verse 2, it says the following. If we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that His word has no place in our hearts. My dear children, I'm writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. He Himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of all the world. Jesus gives us our forgiveness. All we need to do is to turn to Him. He gives us His righteousness. He puts us in right standing with God. Do I earn or deserve it? Well, honestly, no. But because of Jesus, we have all the benefits of being sons and daughters of the living God. And what would a father not do for his son? What would a father not do for his daughter? To see them go forward in life. To see them beat off the giants that are keeping them down. That are stealing their futures. Got my paperwork mixed up, I'm sorry. Here we go. The next scripture there is Proverbs 28 and verse 1. And I often use this jokingly to say that this is why I don't exercise, but Proverbs 28 and verse 1 says, the wicked run away when nobody is chasing them, but the godly are as bold as lions. Our forgiveness and our righteousness in Christ gives us a boldness, gives us a courage that we will not have otherwise. It shakes off the guilt. It shakes off the shame. It washes us clean and gets us ready for what God has for us. We have to hold on to that promise, don't we? Because then we are as bold as lions, doing exactly what the Father has called us to do. Now the next promise is that we can trust and hope in God. 2 Corinthians 3, from verse 8 to 9 says, it speaks of the old covenant versus the new covenant. An old covenant that just covered sin versus a new covenant under Jesus that washes us clean. And this is what it says. It says, shouldn't we expect far greater glory under the new way, the new covenant, now that the Holy Spirit is giving life? If the old way, which brings condemnation, was glorious, how much more glorious is this new way, which makes us right with God? We can trust and hope in Him. Why? Because He has gone so far to make us right with Him, to restore relationship with Him. Psalm 31 and verse 24 says the following. It says, be strong and courageous, all you who put your hope in the Lord. It's David writing there and saying, when you put your hope in God, you can be strong and courageous. You can take courage. You can take courageous steps. Why? Because the God of gods is with you. He gives you hope. He gives you a chance. Why? Because he's shown you that he's fighting for you when he sent his son and bought your salvation. The next place, or the next promise we can hold on to, is the fact that God has not only given us his son, given us forgiveness, given us redemption, but he's even given us his spirit to be with us all the time. That he comes alongside us and walks with us through everything that we might face. Acts 1 and verse 8 says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. Acts 4 and verse 31, Peter and John had just come out of prison for healing a man on the steps of the temple. And they were questioned, and they're like, under whose authority do you do this? And they didn't really know what to do with these guys. And they come out of prison, and they go to the church, and they say, guys, it's about to get real. We are about to go into trouble and tribulation, and they're going to kill us. It's going to get tough to be a Jesus follower. And they pray this wonderful prayer of, God, give us strength. God, make us look to you in everything that we do. God, give us courage. And the prayer ends like this. In Acts 4, verse 31, it says, after this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then they preached the word of God with boldness. And that's what God wants to do for each and every one of us. He gives us his spirit so that inside of us we know that God is with us. It doesn't matter what we face. Doesn't matter what happens around us. Doesn't matter what giant tries to steal our future. God is with us. And he's got our back. The next promise is, again, and I put this in twice for a reason. The reason is, again, that God wants to be with us. It's so important that we realize that God wants to be with us, that he's gone to extreme lengths to have relationship with us. King Hezekiah is one of the few good kings that Israel had. Well, he was a king of Judah when the kingdom split, but he's one of the few good kings. And he gets up, and they look over out. They kind of stand on the palace walls, and they look out, and they see these massive masses of Assyrian army coming. And the people are like, "That's gonna kill us." And he gives them the speech, and the speech includes this. He says, in 2 Chronicles 32, verses 7-8, he says, be strong and courageous. Do you see what he's tapping into? Don't be afraid or discouraged, because the king of Assyria or of his mighty army. For there is a power far greater on our side. He may have a great army, but they are merely men. We have the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles for us. Hezekiah's words greatly encouraged the people. Why? Because he reminded them of who their God is, of who fights on their behalf. God fights on our behalf. He wants to see us succeed. He wants to see us do well. He wants to see us beat off those giants that are stealing from us. 1 John 4 and verse 4. Says the following, but you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people, because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. God's spirit in us is greater than anything that we'll ever face. What do we have to do? Trust God, stick our faith fully in him, take that courageous action over and over and over again. The last one. God is faithful to answer his prayers. Or our prayers, rather. As soon as I, Psalm 138 and verse 3. As soon as I pray, you answer me. You encourage me by giving me strength. As soon as I pray, you answer me. You encourage me by giving me strength. Jeremiah 33 and verses 2 and 3 says, this is what the Lord says. The Lord who made the earth, who formed and established it, whose name is the Lord. Ask me, and I will tell you remarkable secrets you do not know about things yet to come. Ask me, and I will tell you things that you do not know, things that are yet to come. Why does God say that? Because he doesn't just make promises, he keeps them. When we pray, when we're like, Lord, I trust you, but Lord, I want to take this courageous action, but man, I need to know that it's you. Man, I need to help. God answers prayer. We can hold on to what David said as he says, as soon as I pray, you answer me. You encourage me by giving me strength. God will give us the strength to be courageous. He always answers prayer. So this morning, for us to take courage is a call to faith in God, to the strength and the confidence that he provides, not something that rises up inside of us, not something that we can read in a book, that some motivational speaker can say, if you do these seven things, you'll be more confident, you'll have courage. It'd be great if that could be, but like I said, it's not an emotion. It's not something that happens and then we're courageous. No, that's something that happens is putting our faith in God. It's putting our trust and all our marbles, our everything in God's hand and saying, Lord, without you, I'm nothing. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is not the absence of amazing obstacles. It is the absence of self. It is replacing me with the presence of God. We can take courage in who God is, and we can take on anything that he has put on our path. Why? Because he is with us. For us to be full of strength, for us to be free from fear, and for us to be full of courage, that's why he is with us. Why does he need to do all this? Why does he want to do all this? Well, because he wants to get all the glory when we do the work that he has given us to do. Because the command, once again, is be strong, be courageous, and do the work. This morning as we prayed in the pre-service prayer meeting, I didn't know how to end the service this morning. And God sometimes has a sense of humor with these things. And as we sat down and we prayed, I just felt Matthew 14 and verse 28 pressed on my heart. And Matthew 14, 28 says, then Peter called to him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. This is Peter standing on the boat. There's a massive storm raging. And Jesus comes to the disciples walking on the water, and they're like, ah, it's a ghost. And Jesus is like, don't be afraid, it's just me. I'll get to you guys now, and everything will be okay. And Peter's like, Lord, if it's you, just tell me, and I'll walk out on the water and meet you there. And I love Jesus' answer. It's so simple. Yes, come. And this morning, I think our call to courage is just that. Because so often we land ourselves on our knees in front of our beds. And we're like, Lord, if it's you, let me know, because I'll walk out on the water. And my confirmation was the first song that we sang that said exactly that. Lord, if it's you, tell me and I'll come. And I believe Jesus' answer this morning is yes. Come. So this morning, if that's you, this morning, if at any stage, if you've this morning realized that I need to call out, Jesus, if it's you, just tell me and I'll come walking out on the water. I want to ask you, would you stand? And I'd love to pray with you right there in your seat. I'm not going to make a show of it. I'd just love you to stand. And I'd love the people around you to put their hands on you and pray with you. That you might act in courage. That you might know that God is with you. And that He wants to see you beat the giants that is holding you back, that is stealing your future, that is taking God's best from you. And for Him to give, you can stand. And for Him to give you the assurance that you can take courageous steps in Him. Please stand. I'd love for you guys to stand. I'd love for us to take this moment and just get God's confirmation. If you are not standing, and even if you're standing, stick your arm, put your hand on the back of the person next to you, in front of you, around you, and just connect your faith to theirs. Let's pray together. Father God, we come to You this morning. And Lord, we just lay ourselves down in front of Your feet. And Lord, we know that You have commanded us to be strong and courageous, but You didn't just command us and say, You go out there and find it yourself, Lord. You said, I will be with you. I will do everything it takes to be with you. I will send my Son. I will forgive your sins. I will make you righteous. I will answer your prayers. I will send my Spirit. And Lord God, I thank you that this morning, as each and every one that stands here can take courage in that, in knowing that you are for them and not against them, Father God, that you have a hope and a future in everything that you have put on their path. And Father God, I thank you that you strengthen them. Lord, I thank you that you show them the strategy. Lord, that you show them what the courageous steps are that they need to take. Lord, that they might walk this road with you. That they might come out on top of whatever is facing them. Because Lord, this morning we declare that you are so much greater than anything that we could ever face. I love David's words where he says, with my God I can scale a wall. And Lord, this morning we know that we know, with you in our corner, we can get over and through any problem that we might face. We thank you for strength. We thank you for courage. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy, Lord. We thank you for your presence here this morning, Lord, encouraging us to be strong and be courageous. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you guys so much for having us. I hope you were encouraged this morning. And I hope you understand a little bit more what it means to be strong and take courage. And I really, really, my prayer is this morning that whenever Jesus says to, or we say to Jesus, Lord, if it's you, tell me and I'll come out on the water with you, that we listen out to these two words, yes, come. Amen. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful week.